The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
There's a faith that's so much greater than believing for something, and it's a faith that believes in someone, and especially when you don't get the thing that you're expecting to get.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find Him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
Today on Everyday Answers, Joyce will tackle not one, not two, but three of the most common questions that you are all sending in. She will answer the question, why doesn't God just give me what I want? We all ask that. She'll also tackle, why am I not changing? And our first question comes from Twitter. Camilla asks, what can I do to help my community spiritually? Camilla, what a beautiful question. Well, we know that prayer is a great place to start. But right now, Joyce is going to share some very practical ideas that anyone can use to help anybody, anytime, any place.
You know, everybody wants to feel important. And you have the ability to make somebody else feel super great today. And when you do, it's going to so enhance your life. Mary Kay Ash said, pretend that every single person you meet has a sign around his or her neck that says, make me feel important. So many people feel so bad and they feel so little and so small. And there's so much guilt and so much condemnation. And I tell you what, God has given us one of the most precious gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit is the comforter and the encourager. And I just thought yesterday, my gosh, the Holy Spirit has invited us to share His ministry with Him in lifting people up. Have goals. Set a goal. Every day, I'm going to put a smile on at least three faces. Every day, I'm going to make at least three people smile. I'm going to greet people, even if they look sour, and I think probably they'd rather I leave them alone. I'm going to greet them anyway. I'm going to be friendly and greet them. Compliment people in some way. Every person you're around, make a decision. Now, come on, I'm not just talking. Make a decision. Every person you're around, ask God to put something in your heart that you can genuinely say to them that would be a compliment. That color looks great on you. I love your hair. Thanks for helping me. I appreciate you. Give people credit when they do things. Don't let other people do things that you take the credit for without giving them credit also. I was looking at all the stuff on the media screen this morning while we were watching some of the stuff, and I think about this all the time. You know what? I mean, I would have my teaching gift no matter what, but our ministry would not be reaching the amount of people it is without all the other people that work here. I don't have those creative abilities. I talk. You know, they've got all the creative ability. They're the ones that put together all the other stuff. And all the people behind the scenes, the helpers. Oh, my gosh, I love the helpers. People who just say, well, you know, I just want to help. You know, I don't have any special gift, but I'll help. That is a gift. When you want to help, that is a tremendous gift. To be willing to be in the background and just help. I tell you what, helpers are going to get a special reward in heaven. Just helping people. Let's make a decision when we go out of here today that we are going to get a habit of adding value to other people everywhere that we go. Thank people. Appreciate them. Take time to listen to them. Smile, meet needs, and whatever you do, don't ever belittle anyone or make them feel useless or like they're not as good as you because they're not as fast as you or they don't understand what you understand. add value everywhere that you go. Matter of fact, I can just tell you something. If you got a marriage in trouble, you can probably go home and heal it in 30 days by just applying this principle right here. Come on. Don't sit around and wait for the other person to do what needs to be home done. You step out into the water and watch God part it. You go home and say, I'm going to take responsibility, especially if you're the believer in the family. You take the responsibility to start applying the biblical principles and don't let the devil win. Start adding value to people.
It's pretty astounding to consider how much the world would change for the better if each of us would develop a habit of adding value to others. Well, speaking of habits, let's take a trip to a college campus and see what people there think.
College, for many, the place where habits are revealed.
The most difficult habit I have is procrastination.
Habits are duplicated.
Habits. My worst habit is probably procrastination.
I'll always wait till the last minute to do stuff.
Habits are redefined.
Procrastination's actually a pretty good habit that I've gotten into. Doing homework at the last minute, I get a lot more done, and I feel like it's a better quality even.
Students say bad habits can be unhealthy.
I like to sleep a lot, and I smoke cigars.
Frustrating.
Biting my nails, I'm really bad with that.
And unique?
I use the word absolutely. Many times you're going to ask me a question, I will say absolutely. Or something I'm doing, absolutely. So I can break that. I tried.
Everyone agrees breaking bad habits and establishing good ones can be difficult, but worth the effort.
Yes, absolutely. There we go. Did you hear me?
So habits are here to stay, but we have a choice between the good.
I love to be on time.
The bad.
Texting and driving.
And the, unique.
I'm always smiling. I always try to smile. Also, I do everything with passion. Smiling and with passion.
Remember these old vinyl records? For some of us, they bring back great memories. Some of those college students may be thinking, what in the world is that thing? But isn't it amazing how playing music has gone from this to this? In fact, now what once was this is also in this one gadget. And vinyl's coming back around, so change is necessary, and it's just a part of our growth in our gadgets and especially in our lives. Joyce is going to talk about changing habits as she addresses the question, why am I not changing?
We all have habits. 40%, they say, as much as 40% of what we do is done strictly out of habit. That means we don't even realize half the time we're doing it. We just do it because we've done it so much that it's become part of us. Habits are made through repetition, and habits can be broken through repetition. If you repetitiously do something, you get a habit of doing it. If you repetitiously don't do something, then you can get the habit of not doing it. When you're used to it, you'll miss it when you first stop doing it, but then after a while, it wouldn't even be comfortable to do it again. However, we don't want to focus on bad habits. I'm sure when I said I'm preaching on making good habits, right away you all thought of all the bad habits that you have. I don't even want you to focus on your bad habits. I want you to focus on making good habits, because I believe if we make enough good habits, there won't be any room in our life for the bad habits. Okay, now look at this scripture. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. And I'd like you to put that back up from the beginning and let me read it to you a different way. For those who have bad habits are controlled and set their minds on those bad habits. Those who have good habits are controlled by them because they have set their mind on those good habits. Where the mind goes, the man follows. Your thoughts always precede your actions. You cannot change a bad habit if you keep bad thinking. You cannot make a good habit if you keep bad thinking. You have to first believe that you can do a thing, renew your mind in that area. The more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the better it's going to be. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, if you've then been raised with Christ to a new life, how many of you believe you've been raised with Christ to a new life? It says, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, I love it. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on things upon the earth. Now, let me just simply say this to you. God has given you and me an unbelievable gift in the mind. It's just, even scientifically, it's amazing how little of our mind we use and what it's capable of and how many functions it provides every single solitary day. Your mind is a phenomenal gift from God. And God has also given us this ability that if we really make our minds up that we're going to do something, to be honest, it's pretty much all over after that, because you really can do just about anything that you make your mind up that you're going to do. That's why when people say, well, you know, I can't exercise. Now, don't get mad at me, but the truth is you don't want to. Why? Well, I just can't get out of debt. It's too big of a problem in my life. Well, the truth is you don't want to pay the price to undo the mess that you, can I go there? The mess that you made. Now, yes, I know there are always unfortunate circumstances. Things can happen to people that were beyond their control. I give you that. There's no doubt about that. But we're just going to say that we're going to talk about our part. And if we live riotously on one end, then we've always got to pay the price on the other end. Dave and I got in debt in the early years of our life using credit cards, and we decided we were going to get out of debt. And I mean, we went a long time and couldn't buy hardly anything. And it's not pleasant when you do that, but it sure is pleasant when you're no longer in debt. People say, I want to spend time with God. I want to get up and pray, but I just don't have the time. Now look at me. Let me tell you something. You have the same amount of time that everybody else does. We all get the same amount. We all get 24 hours a day. And it's totally up to you what you do with it. So if you don't have time to spend with God, then you need to just get rid of something else in your life, because nothing else is going to work if you don't put God first. So now when I say if you make your mind up to something, nothing can stop you, I believe that that's a gift that God has given you. You know, there was even one place in the Bible where God had to come down and confuse their languages because they had all gotten into agreement. And he said, we're going to have to do something here because they're trying to build a tower to heaven. And there's so many of them that if they imagine that they can do this, they're going to end up doing it. So that in itself tells me that it is amazing what we can do if we just simply will say, I believe with God's help that I can do this. I have set my mind and I'm not going to change it. The problem that we have is we make our mind up and we change it, and then we make our mind up and we change it, and then we make our mind up and the devil talks us out of it, and we make our mind up and then it's too hard. We have to make our mind up and not change it. So if you set your mind for victory, you will have victory. I'm sure you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, cast down wrong imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The devil will put thoughts in our mind that are against the word of God, and the Bible tells us that we're to cast them down. Now, a little something about words. Let's look at Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. I love this. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Uh-oh. We better leave that up there a minute, because I don't know if you got it. Words have consequences. You know why? Because words are containers for power. I have water in this glass, but I could put mud in it if I wanted to. Well, your words are containers, and what you put in them is entirely up to you, but you will get the consequences of those words. Well, you guys are excited today about my great message. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. One more. Idle words leak power. That's what Watchman Nee said. Idle words leak power. Look at 2 Timothy 2:16. But avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk, for it will lead to more and more ungodliness. Now, let me just give you an example of idle talk. Matter of fact, if you really just would take a whole day and zip your lip and just listen to people, people say some of the stupidest things. I mean, things that just make absolutely no sense at all. Like, people will say to me, I get this all the time, Joyce, I love you to death. I'm like, don't love me to death, love me to life. I'm working real hard at trying to have a life, not dying. Or we say, this is just killing me, just killing me. We talk so much about death, people talk more about death than they do life. Idle talk, this is just so hard. I don't think I can do this. I'll never change. I'm so stupid. I'll never lose weight. I'll never be out of debt. I'll never have a good job. I'll never get that promotion. Why in the world, if you're going to spend your time talking, why don't you say something that's going to help you? Instead of saying something that's going to hurt you and just make you feel worse and worse and worse all the time. Okay, you know why? Habit. We just get in the habit of just saying what everybody else says, or we just get in the habit of just saying whatever comes up. You know, all the enemy really has to do is just assign a little demon to be about right here and just suggest thoughts to you, and they just go right in your head and right out your mouth, right in your head and right out your mouth. All day long. Well, God wants us to say no to that, and he wants us to be full of the word, and then he wants it to come up out of here, out of our mouth, out of here, out of our mouth. So are you doing this or this? Maybe when somebody says, what did you learn today? You could say, no more of this and a lot of this. Come on, I'll give you a sermon right there. No more of this and a lot of this. You don't just say what you feel. You say what truth is. Your words and your thoughts will precede all of your actions. So it's not going to do you too much good to try to make any other kind of habit until you first have the God habit. And then through God's word, you let him teach you the power of thoughts and words.
Joyce will be answering yet another question in just a minute. Why doesn't God give me what I want? But first, we want to tell you about a resource that can help you address all of today's questions. This is Joyce's book called Making Good Habits, Breaking Bad Habits. This is great practical stuff. In this book, you'll get over some of those humps that you've been facing trying to change those habits. We also have an action plan that you can get, which has the book. It also has audio teaching and a workbook, which is great for you to do in a Bible study, on your own, with your family, whatever. So check that out as well. We want to make sure that you get this in your hands because it really will help you. You know, we love hearing from you, and God is certainly always listening. So here's an opportunity for everyone to hear your voice. We ask you to share how God has shown you that he cares about you, even in the small things in your life. Got some great responses. Lynn from South Africa says, from always finding a parking space to everything I need to buy being on special that week. Those are a little bit important. That's great. Dana says, God repaired my broken computer. Four different specialists looked at it and couldn't restore the hard drive. My friend and I prayed and for God to fix it. If he cares about a computer, how much more does he care about us? Jennifer says, I have to share this one. We were recently displaced when a huge tree fell on our house during Hurricane Matthew. My three girls all take piano weekly and have for years. I wasn't sure if I would have to rent one or borrow a keyboard. The rental house we're staying in came with a piano. The homeowner doesn't even play and was getting ready to donate it. So when God provided this house, he thought of all the little things too, like a piano. There are many more great responses online, so if you ever want a little bit of encouragement, get on there, browse around, and we do want to hear from you. This week, we're talking about breaking habits, so let's make that first step, being accountable and putting out there what we're going to change. We're going to ask you to share with us those habits that you want to break, no matter how disgusting or embarrassing it may be. Let's just be real and get it out there, and we will face those things together. Share them on Facebook, the Joyce Meyer Ministries Facebook page. And of course, if you have questions for Joyce, use the hashtag AskJoyce, and we love answering those questions. Now, here is Joyce's answer to the question we've all asked before, why doesn't God just give me what I want?
Last thing I want to talk to you about today is the habit of faith. You say the habit of faith, I want to tell you something. Believing, just simply deciding that you're going to believe God, that you're going to believe His Word, that you're going to believe that He loves you, believe that He's taken care of you, just deciding to believe does such amazing things in your soul. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, those who have believed do enter the rest of God. And there's a lot of things the Bible tells us not to strive over, but it does tell us to strive to enter the rest of God. So that means in every situation that I'm in, the best way that I can get relief from worry, our anxiety, our fear, our tension, our stress, or anything else is just to believe. I had to learn to do that even when I'm preaching. Sometimes I'd be preaching and somebody would be fidgeting around, looking at their watch, yawning. Two or three people would get up and leave, and all of a sudden I'd start thinking, oh, this message must be terrible. They don't like my preaching. And I mean, I would just start going down the drain. And God began to show me, if you don't maintain your confidence when you're in that pulpit, you're going to give the meeting to the devil. You have to be confident. And you can't wait to feel confident. You have to be confident. The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that in the Word, in the gospel, there's a righteousness revealed that leads us from faith to faith to faith. If you guys have it, can you put up Romans 1:17 for us so everybody can see this? In the gospel, there is a righteousness revealed. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. I love that. So in the Bible, there's a righteousness, a right standing with God that's revealed. Now, if you don't know that right standing with God, you're not going to be able to have this kind of faith. Because you're going to think that everything in your life is dependent on you, but it's not. It's all dependent on the grace of God coming to you, and you receive that grace through faith. If you've sinned, you don't have to do something to pay back now for your sin. What you need to do is say, I believe that God will forgive me if I ask Him. I receive that forgiveness. There's no condemnation because the Bible says there's no condemnation. God still loves me, I'm still right with God, and that enables you to just have faith that everything's going to work out right in your life. You say, well, what happens if I believe, let's just say I believe for something and I just don't get it. Well, then keep believing anyway. Just keep believing. Just say, I'm not going to stop believing. I may not get it the way that I want it. I may not get it the way that I thought it was going to be, but I'm going to keep believing. I don't have to believe for something. I need to believe in somebody. There's a difference. We've always got this thing that we're believing for. Well, you know what? There's a faith that's so much greater than believing for something, and it's a faith that believes in someone, and especially when you don't get the thing that you're expecting to get. Come on, we need to understand that God is smarter than we are, and He knows better than we do what we need. And thank God that He won't give us what we want, but He'll make us wait until we're smart enough to receive what He says is going to be the best for us. When you trust God, listen, I ask God for all kinds of stuff. And a lot of my prayers are answered right away. Some of them aren't. Some of the things I've asked for, I've never gotten, and I've seen other people get them. And I just have to trust God. If that's what I was supposed to have, then you would have given it to me. Don't look at other people and be jealous. Don't look at other people and be envious. Just say to yourself, God loves me. I am in right standing with God. That righteousness has been revealed to me through the Word. God would never hold out on me because I'm the apple of His eye. He has His eye on me all the time. And He would not hold out on me. He would not keep any blessing from me. Maybe you don't understand what God's doing right now. There was a lot of things I did not understand what God was doing, but I look back now and I understand it. Sadly, we live life forward, but we understand it backward. You know, when we're going toward things, we're like, what is going on? I don't understand. This makes no sense. This is so hard. And then you get over here and it's like, oh my gosh. If I wouldn't have gone through that, I would not be the person that I am today. If I wouldn't have gone through that, I would not know what I know today. So here's the thing that we got to do. While we're over here living life forward, we say, I believe. I believe. I believe. I don't care how I feel. I believe. I don't care what it looks like. I believe. I trust that God is taking care of me. I know that I am God's child, and I am going to live from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith to faith, and faith is going to become a habit in my life. And you know what happens when you have the faith habit? Then the fear habit cannot get in. The worry habit cannot get in. The anxiety habit cannot get in. The stress habit cannot get in. You know why? Because you've entered the rest of God. And you frankly don't care what God does or when He does it, because you know that His timing will be perfect and whatever He does will be 100% right. Come on, give God praise. From faith to faith to faith to faith to faith to faith to faith.
There have been many times in my life that I am so glad God didn't give me what I asked for. He knows so much better. Make sure you join us next time on Everyday Answers.
There are mysteries that God reveals to us, but there's other things that we will never understand. I just believe if God wants me to know, He'll tell me.
To discover more answers to your everyday dilemmas, call us right now or go online and order our offer. Joyce's book, Making Good Habits, Breaking Bad Habits. Really practical steps. It talks about building good habits to replace those bad ones. And remember, we also have an action plan available, which just has even more material for you to use on your own, in a Bible study, to share with a group or your family. It's a great idea to pick this up as soon as you can and start breaking those habits. Thank you so much for being with us. We love that you're here with us every week. We'll see you next time.